went, got my phone, checked in with him. He texted right back, I'm all good. And then he said, just had a shot of Fireball whiskey. And I was like, okay, you're clearly fine.
Dizrin's Radio, episode 587 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you once again by my good friends over at DKMS, who are doing everything they can to help solve the problem, eliminate it completely, of blood cancer and blood disease, both here in the U.S. and around the world. We've talked about some of the stats before about how often, every 3 minutes someone is diagnosed in the U.S. with a blood disease, and every 9 minutes someone dies because of it, which is crazy. You don't think about that. At least I don't. Before I started talking with DKMS and having them be a part of the show, I didn't realize that the problem, I guess, or the severity, the scope of the problem with blood cancer and blood disease. But the best way to treat it is with a bone marrow transplant. And there's some 14,000 people a year in the U.S. that need to find somebody with a genetic match to have a chance at overcoming some type of cancer or disease in their blood. And what DKMS does is they help to bring those patients and the potential donors together. All you need to do is head over to DKMS.org and get a free swab kit. And you swab the inside of your cheeks, you return the kit, the sample back to DKMS. They'll put it into the system. And if it turns out that you have the potential to be a genetic match to someone who's battling blood cancer and blood disease and have the opportunity to perhaps save a life, DKMS will get in touch with you and help set up the situation or help set up the procedure, which isn't a huge thing, a few days, no cost. They cover all the costs. So if you're interested, once again, DKMS.org, join me in the pool of potential lifesavers. And if you want some more information, you can text the word amazing to 50555. We'll talk a little bit more about DKMS in a little bit, but for now, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today I get to catch back up with a woman that I first spoke with not quite 2 years ago, but a little over a year and a half, something like that. I didn't feel like doing all the exact counting, but somewhere between a year and a half and 2 years ago. And as you might imagine, a lot changes over the course of a couple of years, and a lot of things are done, and get to find out kind of where we are and how things have progressed since our first chat. Today's guest is a woman that lives her life with a couple of autoimmune diseases and how that impacts her and her running. Obviously, we definitely touched about that the first time and may touch on that a bit more today as well. And when she was first diagnosed, the fun part of that story is that her doctor basically told her that she wouldn't be able to run, which wasn't a big deal because she wasn't a runner at that point. And again, how things change with the benefit of hindsight. If you fast forward all the way to today, kind of where she's going at this point in 2018 and where she plans to be by the end of the year, she'll have finished her 75th half marathon since being told that she couldn't run or shouldn't run, and has no plans of slowing down and stopping anytime soon. So without any further ado, it's a pleasure to be able to welcome Ms. Gretchen Schoenstein back to the show. Thanks for coming back for a little round two today, Gretchen. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited to be here. And when you just gave that number of 75, I actually got goosebumps. I was like, really? Me?
Yeah. Time flies when you just keep knocking them out. But guys, if you haven't connected with Gretchen yet and you would like to do so, kind of find out more about what she's got going on and follow along on her journey as it continues well beyond this year, iwonderwoman.com is the website. That's the letter I, iwonderwoman.com. On the Instagrams, on the Twitter, social media places, at RunGrateful, RunGrateful. And if you missed the first episode, it was episode 341, which might, depending on your podcast app of choice, might still be in near the bottom of the available episodes on your apps. So you can scroll down and see if you can't find that one. And if not, you can certainly head over to the show notes and listen there, dizruns.com/341 to take you to round one. And today's episode, dizruns.com/587. We'll have everything linked up, all of Gretchen's contact info, and kind of the synopsis of the things we talk about today in the show notes, as always, dizruns.com/587. So, Gretchen, the way we start off the show certainly hasn't changed. It actually hasn't changed since day one, and I have no plans on changing it anytime going forward. And I have a feeling your answer probably hasn't changed since our first chat, but I'm still going to throw it out there and see what happens. And that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Yes. Well, I guess it's a bit obvious. it would be the half marathon or the 13.1 miles. It's just, for me, it's kind of the perfect distance in that I still have to train for it. Mm-hmm. And yes, I still do train even when I have lots of races going on at the same time. Versus it kind of taken over my life. And what I love about all the distances that are out there now is people are really finding their specialties. Mm-hmm. I've met people who their specialty is a 5K. They knock those 5Ks out and win their distances constantly in a race that they sign up for. And they're fulfilled and satisfied by that. And for me, it's the 13.1 because it's a good balance in my life without it completely taking over my life.
Gotcha. As I've been known to do once or twice before when I've had somebody on for a round two and their answer is the same and pretty much the reasoning hasn't changed, which is great. I mean, you know, you find a distance that you enjoy, by all means, you know, double down, triple down on it and enjoy it. But I you know, a little curveball at you right off the bat. Is there a distance that you don't particularly like that you've raced before? And if so, why?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I actually really enjoy all distances. I mean, training for a 5K is different than training for a 10K versus training for a half marathon. I've never run a full. And I know, you know, there's maybe some people going, oh my God, how is that possible? How can you call yourself a runner? But I really am one of those people in the running world that I believe whatever distance works for you, you can call yourself a runner. And, you know, I never say never. I've had a few friends in the last year since we spoke who said, you know, half marathons are their distance. And then they went and trained for a full marathon. And it is a very different way of life, for sure. So like I said, never say never, but I'm on a bit of a specific path right now in terms of my half marathon goals. And the 5K, you know, it's you're really basically training for speed versus endurance and hills. And then, you know, 10K, it's this funky little addition of endurance. I have done a couple of 12Ks, and those do mess with me because I'm used to either the 6.2 or the 13.1. Mm-hmm. So a 12K is an interesting one. There's a race that's called the 12Ks of Christmas. So instead of this 12 days, 12Ks. So it's, you know, it's a fun race, but I realize I've never actually done quite well in that one, and I think it's because it's that weird in between.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I kind of like the idea of a different distance, and if nothing else, because it's a great chance for a PR when you've never done a 12K before. Like, you can go out and you pretty much guarantee that you're going to PR. But racing it, yeah, it is, you know, it's one of those things you don't think about. But like, you know, if you race a bunch of half marathons, you know what to do. If you were to go out and all of a sudden race a, you know, a 25K, which is just a mile and a half ish more, it changes the dynamic a little bit. And so it's kind of that same thing between a 10K and a 12K. Like, it's just, you know, when do you make your kick? Like, how do you adjust your pace? It just adds that little element that is easy to overlook when you hear of an odd distance type of race. But there is a you know, if you want to race it, it requires a little bit of tweaking and adjusting. So I could see something like that being a double-sided coin, something I enjoy, but also something like, God, like that kind of, like, I don't know how to do it, so I don't know if I really like it kind of thing.
Right. Well, and, you know, and to your point of your body is used to certain distances, you know, when I've had races that come up where maybe I wasn't able to train as much as I would have liked to heading into it, or maybe I'm coming off of a cold or something, some circumstances happening where all of a sudden I find myself being a bit nervous about the race, whether because I don't know how it's going to go, I don't know what the finish will be like, or maybe I had a certain goal in my head and I'm starting to realize I might not get it. And I have had a couple of friends who are great because they remind me right before the race. They're like, your body knows, right? There's a physical, there's a sensory memory that, you know, once you start that race, your body will go, oh yeah, I've done this before. I know what to do. And every time I get that outside reminder, it kind of calms the nerves, and it's always true. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's just, you know, it's like you said, my body knows I start kicking back up at mile 10, right, because I know I can sustain that for the next 3 miles, and come closer to the finish I like. And the other thing I was going to say, I forgot, but I did this, Rock and Roll is a series that I use a lot to get to the races that I do. And they have this thing called a remix weekend. And in December, I decided to try it. It's not something a lot of people do them every time, right? It's a 5K or a 10K on that Saturday, and then a half or a full on that Sunday. And a lot of people get, you know, great satisfaction and fulfillment out of them. I have stayed away from them because of concern for my body. What my body, you know, I have pushed my body far beyond the limits of what any medical professional believes that I could do. That said, I still know that there are ways that I need to treat my body to take good care of it, and not push it to the extreme to where then I'm basically out of commission for a couple weeks or more. But I decided to try it. I was like, it's the last race of the year. I'm curious. I wonder what my body can do. And so I ran a 5K on Saturday morning and, you know, took everybody's advice. Don't go as if this was the only race of the weekend. Right. Don't try to win the 5K, you know, cause I'm like everybody else. You get excited on race day. All of a sudden you're like, no, I was tired, but no, I'm not. No, I'm excited. And look at all the people, and you get wrapped up in the event of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And, so I, you know, I tried to hold back a little bit, still, you know, super happy with my 5K time, but then I had to just really lay low the rest of the day. And I ran the half the next morning. You know, I took extra good care of myself. I went back to my old school routine, you know, feet up, you know, not a lot of time walking around, you know, really good fuel and food, and get some good rest. And I ran the half the next day, and I could feel it in my legs like anybody would. Mm-hmm. But I ended up in the medical tent for about 2 hours at the finish. I got pushed into a wheelchair cause I was about to pass out. Wow. And I, you know, it was smart. I mean, I think we've all had those moments where you're like, oh, I'm a little lightheaded. And then a minute later, you're okay. Mm-hmm. This was one of those, like, it's not going away. It's not going away. It's not going away. And I have some curiosity around, you know, did I push my body too much? Did I take on too much for one weekend? You know, there was other factors as well. There was a barometric pressure change. Mm-hmm. In the race, you know, it's down in Texas. So there was, you know, it was super humid in the morning. Then all of a sudden it rained in the middle of the race. So I'm sure there was more than one factor into it, but, it was an interesting experiment for me. And that's something that's really important to me in my running career, is that I'm constantly challenging myself. I'm constantly trying to do something a little bit different, a little bit new, while still maintaining what I know works for me. And so mm-hmm. I had to try it, right? I had to see if I could do that kind of a weekend. I'm not seeking that out this year, unless the second half of the year goes different. Like, no, I think that was good. You know, a lot of us do maybe a mile run or a 2 mile run just to shake something mm-hmm. out the day before. But I do think like two races in one weekend, I think it was too much for my immune system to really be able to maintain, right. For the whole weekend. So, but I have other challenges. You know, I've got three? Yeah, I got three pairs of back-to-back races this year. So a half on one Sunday, and then a week later, another half. I just completed the first set, got another one in July, and another one last weekend of October and first weekend of November. Gotcha. So that's an interesting thing to try to, you know, get the appropriate amount of rest in between the race, but not move.
Right, right.
Right? And still be able to enjoy both races. And that's kind of an experiment that I'm having a little bit of fun with, because I did San Diego and I was like, okay, I'm going all out for San Diego. There's a lot of downhill. It's going to be great. A week later is Seattle. It's a new course with more hills. I'll just let that one go. And what I love about it is, you know, part of letting it go means that I only ran Seattle 9 seconds slower than San Diego. It ended up being an awesome race, and I ended up in the med tent after San Diego, not in Seattle. So it's just, you know, people think, oh, you just, you know, do all these races, you don't think about it. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, I'm incredibly present with every single race, partly because I have to be, but also partly because I'm super driven by curiosity and what the experience is and how different little things play out and things I expect, things I can plan for. And then obviously, as we all experience, doesn't matter how well you plan, there's all that other stuff that happens in the moment that you have to be paying attention to be able to adjust or tweak the ability to stay in the experience of the race.
Yeah. And as per usual, there's so many things in there that I would love to dive a little bit deeper on. Going back to San Antonio, to the 5K followed by the half marathon the next day. Do you think, and there may not be any way of knowing one way or the other, but do you think that the struggle with the half marathon was due to the extra volume of doing the 5K the day before, or you know, even though you weren't planning on trying to kill it in the 5K, was there maybe a increased intensity than what you would normally do for your couple of miles the day beforehand, that maybe it was more intensity than the distance that impacted you, or you know, like I said, is there any way of, can you even maybe wager a guess one way or the other?
I would wager the guess to be the latter, that you know, I was actually just having this conversation with my friends down in San Diego whose daughters are athletes, and you know, they like to run, they've done cross country, they're soccer players and lacrosse and all this kind of stuff. And the younger one is my goddaughter, so of course I have to talk about them. But we were talking about it, and her older sister likes to run, but she doesn't like running events. And we were talking about, because there's an intensity around a race that can mess with you. I would say for me, 9 times out of 10, it's awesome. Right? It's the thing that gets you, you know, why else in God's name would people get up at 3:30 in the morning to eat a protein bar and a freaking banana, right? So there's something about race day that keeps us going. There's no way I would have the amount of miles I've run if it weren't for race day. Because it's, you know, I can be, you know, and as 2017 is a great marker of this, you know, I can be in a place in life where I don't want to keep running, but I've got the race sign up, and so I go for it. So I do think that there is something that is just a little bit more intense about a race, even if it's a 5K. You know, people are like, oh, 5K, you know, you're done in, you know, if you're lucky, 20 minutes, 30, 45, 50, whatever your 5K time is. You know, you kind of rally. I think your body steps up. I think mentally, emotionally, physically, physiologically, there's this, let me step up into the experience of, there's a formality around it. People planned for it, right? It's a different experience. So my guess is it's probably the intensity of it. Right. I bet if I had ran exactly 3.2 miles the day before, maybe walked a little bit, maybe, you know, kind of shuffled and there was no organized chaos around it, I don't know that I would feel it the same on Sunday. I would still feel it. Right. And I've done it a few times before where I've had like a 1 or 2 mile race, or sorry, run the day before. And I did it in Arizona a number of years ago and ran with a group of friends, and we ran slow enough to be able to talk. And it was just a couple of miles, and I had one of my fastest times the next day for the half. So based on that kind of comparison, I would say it's the second thing that you suggested of the intensity of a race.
Do you typically do some type of shakeout the day before, or do you rather do it, you know, all things considered equal, maybe 2 days before, so you can get that extra day of rest in between?
I do have a tendency to not do a lot the day before. You know, a lot of times I'm traveling to a race, and so maybe I'll go to the expo, you know, so I get a little bit of walking around that way. I don't typically tend to do a shakeout run the day before. I, you know, I'm pretty good at tapering, you know, the week leading in, because, you know, with running anywhere from 8 to 12 races a year, you're kind of almost always in training.
Right.
And there's always something coming up, right? You're in some part of the cycle. And so, you know, I try to typically do, you know, the 2 to 3 mile, you know, Thursday, or if I'm traveling Friday, I'll do it Thursday. If I'm traveling Thursday, I'll try it Friday. Mm-hmm. But you won't see me in the hotel gym or outside running the day before a race. Like I don't know. I kind of want to save up every last bit of energy that I can for the next day. Maybe that's the wrong way to think about it. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody listening. It's like, that's not how it works, but you know, half of this is mental. And if that's what works in my brain, that my legs are slightly less fatigued the day of the race, then that's what works.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also points to the whole, you know, everybody's an experiment of one. And so you got to find what works best for you. And there's no, you know, there's no cut and dry thing that like, if you don't run 2 to 4 miles the day before a half or full marathon, your performance will be hindered. Like that's not a thing, even though so many people think it is. And so many people are like, if I don't run the day before, like it's going to mess up. Like, no, like physiologically, it's not going to do a whole lot one way or the other, as long as the intensity is where it should be. But in every case, there's always an exception to the rule. And for somebody that needs a little bit more recovery time, then you're probably better off doing exactly what you do, which you've figured out probably through trial and error, that run a couple days beforehand, take it easy. Like you said, walk around a little bit, do the expo, kind of chill. And then you're in a better position more often than not on race day that way.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned earlier about kind of continuing to train even when you've got a full race calendar. And I know that this year you've got a very full race calendar planning. If all goes according to plan, 12 half marathons this year, which, you know, like you said, you got a couple that are back to back. So that may not exactly translate to one race every month, but pretty much, like you said, you're always kind of in that recover, you know, one good week of training, taper, race, recover kind of thing, repeat. So, so how does that, you know, how do those two worlds collide this year for you, or at least so far? You know, we're about halfway through the year at this point. How have those things collided for you in terms of being able to get good training, but also, you know, listening to your body, respecting your body, making sure you have plenty of time to taper into a race and also recover coming out of a race? Like, is it harder than you thought? How has that process played out?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This is actually the most I'll run in a year. I've never done 12 before. The most I've done is 11, and that was way back in 2011, which is weird to me that's 7 years ago. It does not compute. But so, you know, the last 2 years I did 10 each, and that was hard. I'm not going to lie, to pull off 10 in 1 year. One was because I geared up around running my 50th half marathon in the fall of 2016, and that was kind of going to be it. Mm-hmm. And then decided to do a few more. And I will say, like, I like not having big chunks of time in between races, because it just keeps me more on top of my game. Mm-hmm. But one thing, for example, I've already noticed with the two back-to-back that I just did, the recovery is kind of significant. Instead of a couple of days, so I can stay geared up in between races, right? Mm-hmm. I did San Diego. I was, you know, in the mood, I was in the mode. I was, you know, the next day I always tell people, I'm like, don't even try to think you're going to have an intelligent conversation with me the day after a race. Like, I might think I'm saying, you know, decent words coming out of my mouth, but the reality is I'm just fuzzy. My brain's fuzzy. And my body feels good, but sore, or good and sore, I should say. You know, and then a few days later, I went on a quick run, and then all of a sudden I'm immediately gearing right back up to got to go to an expo, got to get ready for the race. So I stayed in that higher level of I'm in race mode. And then after the race, it was solid 5 days of just kind of being out of it. You know, I mean, I worked and I did all that kind of stuff. I just felt like I wasn't quite fully myself yet. Right. And that definitely took a little bit longer. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens again in July and November. You know, I am a huge believer in cross training. So I do a lot of weight training. I do a lot of hiking, yoga, you know, all of the type of things that I believe make me a stronger runner. And they also pay dividends in terms of when I'm not able to run, if I can still pull off a weight training or core and upper body strengthening or do some sort of, you know, weight training for my legs, that I'm still, even if I'm not necessarily getting the miles in, I'm still doing something that will pay off on race day. I look at it as kind of like a future investment in the race. So I'm not one of those super high mileage runners each week, because I can't always pull it off, whether it's because my body is saying, nope, not today. And I know that it's one of those not today that I can't push through versus the ones that I'm like, yeah, no, that's just mental. Let me go.
Right.
Or I'm traveling a lot, or I got work going on. So I feel like there, I can't ever just go in autopilot, which maybe is a good thing, right? I think maybe some people, like, I don't ever take any day or any step or any mile or any race for granted. I don't go on autopilot. I don't ever wake up from a month of training or a race day and go, wait, did that just happen?
Right.
I wouldn't even say it's not that I don't have the luxury to do it, because I don't think many runner aims to kind of check out. But I feel like because I got to pay attention to my body so very much, that it does keep me really in the moment. And I think that's a good thing. And so, you know, like a training plan for me is not as cut and dry. It's not just a very straightforward, like, here's your training plan. Always follow this, because I've got to pay attention to, you know, my autoimmune, you know, I got a flare up of something, right. You know, or, you know, because I was diagnosed with asthma as a consequence of one of the autoimmune diseases that I have. And, you know, I now had the ability to manage that. But there are some days where it doesn't matter how good I've been in my inhaler, you know, my regular one, not just my rescue one. And, you know, I go for a run and, you know, it feels like right. someone's got their squeeze in my lungs and it's just not going to happen today. So I have to, you know, I can plan for, oh, I have a great training run today, and it's just not going to happen. So that's why I am such a strong believer in supplementing with cross training, because I don't always have the ability to run. So we'll see. I would be very surprised if I didn't cross my 75th finish line this year. Like, I, well, for that matter, I've never had a DNF.
Right.
So I will crawl across the damn finish line if I have to. I mean, considering I've fallen into a wheelchair a couple of times at a finish line, I know that I will get there. Like, there's just something about stepping up into a race day that makes you get after it, as long as you can.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that almost kind of even harkens back to the question about the 5K into the half in San Antonio, where, you know, for me, there is just something a little bit different about a race day. Like, I can't, I just can't run it as easy as I might want to. So I'm one of the types of, you know, and there's some people can, where they can just do a race and it's easy peasy and it's fun. They get a different atmosphere. It's better than doing a training run by themselves, whatever the case might be. And you know, if you can do that, I tip my hat to you. But you sound like you're kind of like me. You have a little bit of competitiveness, and on race day, boy, it just comes, and there's nothing you can do. Even if you're trying to hold back, you're going to end up probably pushing a little bit much, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It's great for making sure you're going to finish, but if you're trying to keep it nice and easy, it doesn't always work so well.
Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting that you say that, because I kind of just lived out that as an experiment. I ran Dallas in March, and I had worked all day. So it was on a Sunday. I'd worked all day. I'd taken a red eye out Thursday night. Worked all day in heels on concrete on Saturday, drove another 2 hours, got back to an airport, flew in, got late, you know, midnight, got up the next morning at, you know, 5 a.m. Dallas time to eat and go run a race, and ran into a friend of mine who said, don't worry about it. Cause I was like, oh God, can I even do this race? And then I went back to, you know, my mode is always, it's an experiment. It's something I haven't done before, and I'm going to stay curious and trust my foundation of running. Right. I mean, at this point, as I'm talking to you now, I've run 68 half marathons. My body knows something. I got to trust that, even if it hasn't been great training, or, you know, or I'm extraordinarily tired or whatever it is. And So, you know, he ran with me. I am typically a solo runner. And so it was different to have somebody run with me, but it was great because, you know, kind of, I would say probably in the first 2 miles, I probably ran a little faster, than I would have because I was so tired, which was great. I liked that push. And then, you know, a couple times, I mean, he's a run coach too. And so a couple times, you know, he'd try to tell me to, you know, relax or, right. you know, scale back or whatever. And so we made it up a couple of hills, no problem. I happen to be someone who likes hills. And so you may pass me on a straightaway, but I will pass you on the hill. and, you know, we got to about mile 5 and then where I thought the race was going to be where he would have to stick by me, ended up, he had a horrible allergic attack to something going on in a swamp or lake around there. And it really, I mean, it massively affected his breathing and his heart rate and the whole thing. So long story short, we ended up walking for about 5 miles.
Wow.
And from about mile five to 10. And, you know, I was actually starting to feel pretty decent by mile 4 or 5. I was like, wow, I feel way better than I thought I would. I'm making better time than I thought I would. I'm enjoying this more than I thought I would. This is great to shake out all this travel. Like, it was just like, you know, an up stack constantly throughout the race. I was like, oh, we're just going to sail through this, no problem. My number one priority, especially when I'm running with somebody, is leave no runner behind, period. And so while I may have started to feel like, you know, a horse at a horse race that's behind the gate going, let's go, let's go, let's go. I want to go. Like, physically, there was a part of my body that felt like a, you know, little kid wanting to go run down a hill. I also was like, I don't care that there's medical tents everywhere. I don't care that there's other runners literally surrounding us. Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving my friend, period. It's not an option. And so, you know, we talked through it and of course, you know, he like, you know, shoe on the other foot, we would all do the same thing. He was like, no, you go, you right. go, you got this. And I was like, oh, hell no. Right. I know he wouldn't leave me type thing either. Right. So we get to mile 10 and, you know, there's been a couple times where I've said, dude, you know, please go to a med tent because there was some heart rate issues. He's like, no, they'll tell me to, you know, get off the course. And I was like, I can relate to that, but this might actually be a DNF that you need to take. Right. Nope, not an option. I'm not doing it. I was like, all right, I see you're stubborn. I've got it too. And so we get to mile 10 and we ran into some other friends of his. And, you know, I said, you know, this is what's going on. This is what we've been dealing with. And so we're all kind of walking. And then there was about 2 or 3 other people there. And I talked to one guy, and I said, all right, so we're coming up on mile 10. And I said, you know, I'm just going to ask you straight up, like runner's protocol, do I stay or, you know, can I go, you know, run off like a little kid for the last 3 miles? And he looked at me, he's like, what are you talking about? Of course you can go. We got him. Like you had him for the last 5 miles and we appreciate that. And, you know, we've seen this before and we know what to expect. But yeah, go for it. And I said, are you sure? And then I went and talked with my friend and I said, look, like I will stay with you for the last 3 miles, not a problem. And there's also this option. And he said the same thing, go for it. Like they got my back. I'm going to be fine. I promise you, you know, whole thing. And I ran those last 3 miles and it was interesting. The first mile, I really felt the pendulum swing between, I'm running, this feels great. And oh crap, I should go back. What if something happens and I'm not there? Right. It was hard. I'm not going to lie. But I also trusted the people he was with. I trusted the race course, with all the med tents. And I also had to trust him that, you know, just like I know my body better than anybody else, he knows his. And so I ran and I enjoyed it so much that the last mile, I ran a 7:25.
Ooh, moving.
Now, let's be clear. I could not do that for 13 miles, but there was just something about like opening up and having the fresh legs because I did walk from 5 to 10, right? There's no way I doubt that I could have done that if we hadn't, you know, been walking, but it felt really fun. And then I immediately got my phone because I don't run with a phone. Went and got my phone, checked in with him. He texted right back. I'm all good. And then he said, just had a shot of Fireball whiskey. And I was like, okay, you're clearly fine.
Right.
I was like, okay, I'm so glad you just told me that. I don't have to worry anymore. And long story short, you know, I mean, this is why we run. This is why I run so many races. Because if you told me at the beginning of that race that that's what was going to happen, and that was how it's going to play out, I wouldn't have imagined it. Mm-hmm. And yet I love that it happened. You know, I don't even give a crap about my finish time,
right?
Because it was an experiment, and you know, really being there for somebody else, and then also having a little bit of fun at the very end and seeing like, oh, so this is what it would be like if you walked and then got to fly a little bit too. So, and apparently, Fireball whiskey is a healer.
Note to self, yeah. If you're ever feeling down, just have somebody have a little flask of that to give you a little
right?
pick me up.
Mile 11, and you'll finish the race no problem. I can't even imagine, but yeah, no, it was a good one.
Yeah, good stuff. And you know, I feel like what you said, all of us can probably relate to that. You know, in your situation, there's no question you're stopping and you're staying with your friend. And if the shoe's on the other foot, there's no question that everybody's saying go like.
Right.
Go run a race. Like I'll be fine. There's plenty of people. There's plenty of support. Blah 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 blah. Like so, it is that dichotomy that we all have been on one side or the other, or if not even probably both at some point along the line in our running careers.
For sure.
So, so many things, but I guess maybe the next topic, at least a short one. Like you said earlier, 12 halves this year is the plan. It gets you to mm-hmm. 75 by the mm-hmm. end of the year. Was that the reason to go up to 12? Because you know you haven't done 12 in a year before. Not many people have done 12 in a year before. Was it just that allure of getting to 75 this year, or why did you end up with 12 races on the calendar for this year?
Okay, so well, if it wasn't already obvious that I'm a complete dork, I am going to pull back that curtain. It's a numbers thing. I could have easily run 10 again. I am a rock and blogger for the Rock and Roll Marathon Series. And as a rock and blogger, you get a tour pass, which is 10 races. And so I was like, well, I got on the team again and was very honored to do that. And so I should do 10 races again. And then I thought about it and I was like, oh, that'll make me end at 73. Good Lord, that's so close to 75. And the other thing that then happened is, you know, as I've mentioned to you before, I live in Sonoma and was affected by the fires that happened here in October last year. And, you know, short story, I was evacuated for 8 days. It was very harrowing. My cousin and his wife lost their house. I do believe it's a contributing factor to the lung issues that I still have, even though I had them before, but it made it worse. And there's a race here every July called Napa to Sonoma. It's with the Destination Races series. And I've done it before. I did it way back in 2011. And what I have done since I moved here is I don't run it, but I go down to the plaza, which I can walk to from my house, and cheer racers in. And there's nothing, I know anybody who's a runner, or even if you're not a runner, there's nothing like being, especially at a small race, when people are running in, I'm a crier, like I will bawl. I just like, I'm clapping, I'm watching people, that sheer delight / pain that they run across the finish line with, or all the, you know, somebody's running and they've got family members surrounding them and everybody's crying. I'm like, I don't know you, but I'm so happy for mm-hmm. you. You know, I love that. And so I've done that the last few years. Well, after the fires, the race, you know, sign up had been sent around via email. And it's one of those races that, you know, usually sells out in 24 hours. And I thought, you know what? I saw it right now today. It just came through. What the heck? Let's see if I can get in. Just because one of the things that I had seen that it said is that a lot of the proceeds are going to go to the fire relief efforts mm-hmm. around here. And I just thought, my God, I mean, the fires happened in Napa and Sonoma. This race is Napa to Sonoma. It's going to be amazing. It's probably, I already know for a fact, because it's now only in a few weeks, it's going to be emotional mm-hmm. And powerful and probably a little bit healing too. And so I signed up. and I was open. I got a spot. And all of a sudden I was like, oh Lord, now I'm at 74.
Now I got to do one more.
Now I have to do one more. There's no way that there is absolutely no way. Like if you have even one tiny little percentage of liking big, nice round numbers, like a 50 or a 75, mm-hmm. there's no way I could finish 2018 at 74. And so I just thought, you know what? I'll just throw in another race somewhere. You know, there's a lot of cities I love to race in. And what the heck, let's throw a new experiment in and I'll do 75. What's really funny about this is at the end of last year, I had thought, you know, maybe I'll really pull back next year. Maybe I'll only run like 5 or 6. And here I am running the most I've ever run in 1 year. So while it wasn't the short answer, that is why I will be getting to 75 by the first weekend of December.
Gotcha. It makes total sense. And if I had to guess, I would say you're the kind of person that can't stop at a run after 4.92. Like you're going up to 5.0 before you stop the watch.
Yeah. That I have done that. I've been known to do that. I'll put it that way.
Do a couple of circles, like 3 houses down and 3 houses back, and now 2 houses down. All right, now we got it. Yep. So press the button.
Yeah,
I think you're in good company on that front. Want to shift gears a little bit, Gretchen, but first I want to take a quick second and pay a couple bills and thank DKMS for once again not only supporting the show, because obviously that is helpful to me, helps keep the lights on, helps keep the show growing and coming out, but also making a difference in the lives of folks that have blood cancer and blood disease, and we can help. One of the big things that DKMS does is they create a registry of people who get the swab test, take the Q-tip, rub it on the inside of your mouth, send the information back, and use that to help match up people that have blood cancer and other blood diseases with people who are healthy and could possibly be a donor match, which in a lot of cases, that's the opportunity for a cure. So as runners, as folks who are fit and healthy, we kind of make some of the best donors. So if you'd be so willing and are up for joining me in the registry, joining me in the pool as somebody who could potentially be a marrow donor at some point and quite possibly save a life, head over to dkms.org and get yourself a free swab kit. They'll send it to you in the mail. You do the swabbing. Takes about 2 seconds. You put it back in the mail. Postage page envelope. Costs you nothing. And it ends back up at their headquarters, and they put you in the database. And like I said, if somebody comes up that fits you, that is a genetic match that would literally could need your help to save their life, they'll contact you and help set the whole process up. Doesn't cost you anything. They cover all of that. DKMS.org again is the website. And if you want some more information, go ahead and text. You got your phone right now, probably you're listening to this. Text the word amazing, AMAZING, to 50555, and you can get all kinds of more information, get your questions answered, all of those types of concerns that you have. As I say every time I have a sponsor, thanks for supporting the sponsor. It certainly helps me out, but in this case, it helps out a lot more than just me. It literally could be a matter of life and death. So thanks for your support of DKMS and all the great work that they're doing. And join me, like I said, in the pool, dkms.org. So Gretchen, like I said, kind of shifting gears a little bit, and we'll see where this takes us as we get kind of towards the second, kind of wrapping this thing up eventually somewhere down the line. But you mentioned in the pre, before when we were chatting, before we officially started this thing today, that, last year, had a good number of races, but also had some ups and downs, some things that impacted you. Obviously, you just mentioned the fire and how that happened, and you had a race not too long after you were evacuated that you still ran. You mentioned that your mom had some health issues, and you weren't sure, should you stay in the hospital with her? Should you go run a race? A lot of that has to do with the thing that something that a lot of us can also relate to, the whole idea of, having a race on the calendar, having something to train for, kind of just helps to set our universes in order and keep things moving in the right direction, no matter how crazy life gets outside of our running. And I was just wondering if we could talk a little bit more about that, because like I said, I think a lot of people can relate to it, just life crazy, but still having a race, in those situations last year, I guess maybe we'll start here and see where it takes us. But in those situations last year, how important was it to you to have some things on the calendar to continue to work towards, to maybe kind of, for lack of a better way of saying it, to allow running to be that stabilizing force in your life when you needed it the most?
Sure. Very important. Actually, I love how you put that, kind of the stabilizing force when you need it the most. And that it does kind of set the set your universe and grounds you in a way that's a little bit different than I simply have a goal that I'm training for, which is great too. But it takes it to a whole nother level when you're facing something or dealing with something or something came out of the blue and smacked you upside the head. And you know, I also like a lot of times I like to think about running in honor of something or someone. Last March, I raised for my 50th half marathon in 2016, I raised a bunch of money for an organization called Operation Shooting Star, of which I am an ambassador for. And their goal of OSS is to raise awareness and educate people about autoimmune diseases, of which I have a few, and are why I either didn't run and was told I should not run, could not run. And it's also obviously why I do. And I do believe wholeheartedly that it's part of actually what keeps me healthy. I think it's actually keeping my immune system and my autoimmune diseases at bay, keeping my system strong. It can knock it off sometimes, you know, it can kind of knock me off my path a little bit. But I think the pros far outweigh the cons, and I'm starting to have more and more doctors recognize that they actually think the reason I'm as healthy as I am is because of the amount of running that I do, as opposed to what the original thought was, and thoughts were. So I raised a bunch of money through that. And then I went to, Washington DC, in March of 2017 and got to present, the check to the University of Maryland, where the executive director of OSS, goes to for her own MS, diagnosis and treatment. And so a few days later, I was running Washington DC race, and, you know, I could have stayed, you know, doing all the fundraising stuff and doing events and all this kind of stuff, but actually having to, you know, go from that and having the race happen, and it was a ridiculously frigid day, really tough to race. I hadn't run really much at all for a few months. But having that kind of marker in the road to say, this is why I do this, this is what this is about, really set the tone for my year. And so come July, my mom had a horrific fall on 4th of July. I was there. She hit her head. She fell and hit her head on the concrete and was out. Thankfully, I'd had CPR and first aid training just a few months earlier. And so I now know that in a crisis slash chaos, I go into do mode and quite calm. And I just kind of, you know, directed people what to do, what not to do, till the ambulance got there. And it turned out that she had a brain bleed and we needed to go to another emergency room up in Reno. And it was really scary, I'm not going to lie, especially having been there and actually seen it, kind of the thoughts that went through my head. My dad passed away from brain cancer, actually one of the reasons why I just love that the sponsor is DKMS, because it was a form of lymphoma that he had. And so I just want to give an extra shout out for that. I love that it's one of your sponsors and that, you know, we're able to, you know, get the word out and get folks, to be bone marrow donors. You know, there was a whole subset of things that then had to happen when she was in the ICU and, with a traumatic brain injury. And so, you know, other family members stepped in and I went, I actually went up to Seattle with her, to check on her, and I had a race in Chicago and she said, go. My mom is one of my biggest supporters of my running. Once a year, she picks a race to go with me, and kind of be a fangirl, so to speak. And, you know, she was like, this is who you are. Like, I don't want to be the thing that keeps you from going. There's people here who, you know, people were looking out for her. And so I did. You know, I hadn't run for a couple weeks, at least, because of her accident. And it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to get on the plane. It was hard to be there that Saturday before the race on Sunday. But I really took my mom's words to heart, you know, that it was a form of saying, we're still going. I still got this. It wasn't a race that she would have come with me. She, you know, she wouldn't have come to Chicago, but there was just something about still moving forward, still taking that step and not being stuck in the trauma of everything that had happened. And she was well enough for me to go. I mean, if it was, you know, right. Obviously if she'd been touch and go, good Lord, of course not. But she was healthy enough at that point that, and I trusted the folks that were around her, that I could go and that it was a good thing. And then it gave her a boost, to see me not only go, but actually run and finish, and feel good about it. Funny enough, I don't even remember my finish time. I remember the race and I remember being in Chicago and I remember feeling like, I don't want to go. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this, but I did anyway. And then just that little boost of strength, from that was critical for me so that I could be more there for her.
Right.
So that was amazing. And then flashing forward to November and Rock and Roll Savannah, which ironically was a race that my mom was going to, that had been the one she chose last year to go with me. And she did not go. So there was, it was a little bittersweet that way, but you know, I had just come off the fires, for the month of October in Sonoma, clearly had not been running, let alone severely affected by the emotional and physiological trauma of it. Which I, you know, there's lots of details around that that are kind of actually weirdly fascinating about how the human psychology and physiology works, when you're trying to recuperate and heal and get back to a community and rebuild and all of that. But, my lungs were affected and I hadn't been running, and it was tough. And I really thought twice, like, how in God's name am I supposed to get up and go run a race when all of this real life stuff is happening? And I got it in my head. I was like, I'm running for Sonoma. And so I went online, I found some running company and I made a bunch of tank tops that said, you know, hashtag Sonoma Strong, which was our thing, throughout. It's been our thing in the community since then. And I decided to go, that I would run in honor of Sonoma. And I was still fairly traumatized every time I saw, you know, smoke, every time I heard, even coming out of a factory. I remember seeing that in I was in a layover. I had two flights to get to Savannah, and wherever I was switching planes, I saw smoke coming out of a building, and it was just a factory down the street, and I froze. Or hearing sirens, fire trucks, police, that whole thing. But I also knew that, you know, it had been a couple of weeks. And so I thought, you know, this is a good way for me to kind of get back a little bit of that strength and that resolve that I lost throughout that experience. And so, you know, I laid a little bit low. I wasn't, you know, out hanging out with all my runner friends and all that kind of stuff. I just kind of needed to hold back. And then I decided to run that morning. And you know, it was not easy, by any stretch, because, you know, I was still coughing a lot and that whole thing. But the thing that I did that I didn't know I was going to do until I ran past it, but there's a section on the Savannah course, that you run past a fire department really right there on the street. You don't have to go off course. And I was feeling fairly decent on the run. And I had decided that, thanks to a friend of mine, Joe, who, it runs as well. And he kind of runs, walks and thanks, shakes hands of all first responders. He shakes the hands of all the cops that are helping keep us safe. So I was doing that. I would be running near them and say thank you as I was running past them in Savannah. But all of a sudden I ran past a fire department and fire station, and I ran past it three steps and I had this thought of like, no, you will regret if you don't go back and thank them, because 17 states had sent fire departments and fire stations to California. So I backtracked, you know, finish time be damned. I don't care anymore.
Right.
I backtracked and I walked into the fire station and I started just saying thank you. I don't know if you guys were a station that had been sent to California. It turns out they weren't. But I just, you know, shook all their hands and said, thank you for what you do and for the lives and properties that you save. And, you know, I got a little emotional. And then I kept going and I was, oh God, I was buoyed by that for the rest of the race. Right. And I've actually done that now a number of times. I did that in December in San Antonio. Anytime I run past a fire station, I stop. And the guys in San Antonio, they were just like, oh my God, thank you for getting off your race course to say this. And I was like, of course, like right. not these seconds to say thank you are completely worth it. So it, you know, I, in hindsight, you know, the Chicago race was hard. Right now I'm sitting here going, God, I don't even really remember it. But it was good actually in a weird way for both of us, for my mom and for me. And then the Savannah race, that was, it gave me something back. Even though it, you know, I did end up having to get diagnosed with asthma afterwards, not that it caused the asthma, but it just actually, well, now that I think about it, maybe it helped me realize that there was a real right. problem. So that's a good thing, but I'm glad, even though I had that back, I did have back and forth of like, should I go? Maybe I should stay. I don't want to leave my community. God, I haven't run, you know, it feels weird. You know, I'm glad that I followed through with the commitment of having signed up for the race in the first place. And it's not like, oh, well, I already paid for it. Like, okay, fine.
Right.
But it's actually following through with that commitment. There's something empowering in that. That's critical when the life stuff happens, you know, mm-hmm. as you introduce that, like there's a lot of life stuff that happens and I didn't want to just kind of give in to it. And there's something that's the magic of having a race that you've signed up for. 'Cause I don't know about anybody else, but I have grand plans on weekends for some runs and sometimes I can talk myself out of it mm-hmm. and not push it. But when there's a race, you do it and it's always worth it. It's always been worth it for me. That's why I've got 68 under my belt.
And we'll have 75 soon. And who knows how many, I know I asked this question last time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask it again, and maybe we'll make this kind of the philosophical question to wrap up, because it's a predict the future question. And those are always, you know, nothing but philosophical and nothing but almost impossible to answer. But last time, you know, I don't remember exactly what number you were on when we were talking, but you were closing in on, or you had just passed 50. So I guess you were, you know, about, I think you said beforehand, before we got started, right around in that number, wherever it was, kind of asked, mm-hmm. when is the plan? Is there a plan to stop? And you're like, I don't know. I thought maybe I'd stop at 50. And then I ran a couple more after that. And now, and you said, because I went back and listened to it, maybe I'll stop at 75. So,
oh wow!
I pretty much know that's not the plan anymore. At least I infer that that's not the plan anymore. But is there a number that you have now in mind as far as maybe what the next, you know, we talked milestones and round numbers, so 100 might be the next big round number. But is there a plan on, or a thought even on how much farther this continues to go, or do you just kind of keep taking it one race and one year at a time?
Oh, well, the actual honest answer for me, which is, you know, some people would be like, oh, come on, just answer it. It's actually both. Mm-hmm. I do have a goal and I do take it one race at a time because, you know, for me, all the races are, you know, they're, you know, so I've often heard people say, oh, you know, the growth is what happens outside the comfort zone or some version mm-hmm. of that. And, you know, I, of course, like anybody else, strive for comfort. And I always think, well, at the same time, it's not like I'm comfortable when I'm running, right? I feel mm-hmm. like every race I do, you're kind of out of your comfort zone pretty much the entire time. You might have moments of comfort of like, this feels good or what have you. But, you know, it's not something that we do all day long for a reason.
Right.
Except for ultra folks. And, you know, so I crave that. I strive for that because I think that makes me better in all areas of my life, to push myself and see what I'm capable of doing. And so, you know, I would say it's kind of like I have a loose grip on a big goal of 100. And that changes, right? Like I told you, you know, at the end of last year, I was kind of like, oh, maybe I'll do less next year. And mm-hmm. now I find myself doing 12. So the funny thing about that is I'm of two minds. One is, you know, I think there's a part of me, not all of me, but there's a part of me that would like to be able to say I've run a full marathon some point in my life. Mm-hmm. There's times where I think about doing that next year. There's other times where I'm like, not till I've hit 100, because that's still the, you know, the long-term right. goal. There's other times where I've thought, you know, oh, what if I take another 10 years to do 25? You know, what if I focused on something else? You know, but then I'll have a year like last year where it just all of a sudden taught me even that much more. You would think with all the races I've done, I've learned everything I can learn. Not true.
Right.
Not true at all. You know, like I keep learning new things for myself and I keep hearing stories of other people. And that's what I love to do is, you know, share stories and hopefully make a difference, whether it's my own story or somebody else's story. And so I was actually talking with the executive director of Operation Shooting Star right before San Diego, because, you know, it's good, I think, sometimes to check in with people who know you really well and can remind you of your why. I had gotten caught up a little bit in spending a little too much time on social media and thinking that I needed to be a certain way in terms of running or how I present myself or all this kind of stuff. And I had a couple of really pivotal conversations with people about my why for running. And it got me back to, frankly, you know, our conversation, our interview, you know, 18 months ago, and actually even prepping for this one and just kind of going, oh yeah, this is why I run. Mm-hmm. This is why I love doing it. This is why I keep doing it. And she said, after we finished with that part, which was seminal for me, she said, well, I know you're thinking about kind of tapering off next year, but the 10-year anniversary of our organization, we will be celebrating starting at the end of 2020. What if you did your 100th to coincide with our 10-year anniversary? Because I've raised money for them and I'm an ambassador and I, you know, really want to help grow them too. Their tagline is, you know, over 80 autoimmune diseases, more than 24 million Americans affected. All we need is one cure, which is anybody in the AI world knows, you know, these are all connected in some way. And so now, of course, I've got that in my head of like, God, can I knock out 25 races? You know, I'd have to step out and find a lot of local ones to try to, you know, push it through. You know, I certainly don't ever want to just push to push. None of them are just numbers to me. I'm not trying to, you know, I've got 7 left for this year and I'm excited about each single specific one. So, you know, that's a possibility that I could be running my 100th a lot sooner than I think I was planning on. It would take some experimentation with a calendar. And, you know, probably I'd probably have to actually buckle down and maybe even finally get a coach. I've done all of this without a coach, and I could probably do it better. I know I could do it better with one. Again, having kind of pushed through and, you know, done it on my own. Because I know, you know, there's some medical folks on these races and there's other doctors who are like, hey, are you really supposed to be doing this? So I, you know, I kind of take that in stride too. But it's a long-winded way of saying, probably a marathon someday. I think 100 is going to come up sooner than I originally planned. You know, because that's the thing. When I was running number 25, I wasn't thinking about 50. You know, when I was running my third half marathon, I wasn't thinking about 25, let alone 50, let alone 100.
Right.
So that's the other thing that I want to be careful about is, you know, I want to have that big goal. I do know someday I'll get to 100. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of when. You know, but I don't want to be, I don't want to take myself out of what I'm enjoying right now because I'm too focused on the 100, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it totally does. And I think that's a great way to wrap up. It's just the reminder of, you know, be present. Don't get so caught up in the future that you miss out on today because, you know, like whether it's a race, whether it's time with the family, whether it's whatever it is, I think that's a great reminder to wrap things up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So guys, once again, if you haven't already caught up with Gretchen, obviously you're missing out on a lot. So head over to iwonderwoman.com, which is the website, blog, all kinds of race reports and other stuff there, on the Instagrams, on the Twitter, at Run Grateful. And once again, if you missed the first chat, disruns.com/341 and the show notes for today, disruns.com/587. So, Gretchen, thank you, for taking the time today. I'm glad we're able to connect. It was overdue, but not as overdue as some other folks. So glad we didn't wait, 400 episodes in between just 100 and or a little over 200, whatever the number is. But certainly glad we were able to do this, and certainly hoping that maybe we can do this again at some point down the road. But until then, have a great rest of 2018, a bunch of great races to get to 75, and whatever the future holds, certainly wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, Danny. I really appreciate what you do and how you're connecting the running community with lots of different relatable stories and runners and experiences. It's making a difference.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed a little round two with Gretchen, and hope you enjoyed the conversation that we had. It was definitely a good one. Definitely, there were several things after we stopped recording where I said, gosh, we didn't get to this and we didn't talk about that. So there are lots of things still left unsaid. So don't be surprised if we get Gretchen back on it at some point in the future and hash out some more stories and some, like I said, some of those things that we didn't cover today. But based on the things that we did cover today, as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you, what your takeaway was from the conversation today. For me, it kind of went back to towards the beginning, I guess, of the conversation, when Gretchen was talking about, just constantly experimenting, constantly trying new things. I think that for me, I think that sometimes the if it ain't broke, don't fix it philosophy makes a whole lot of sense. But that doesn't mean that you can't still try little subtle things. You know, when I think of when it ain't broke, don't fix it, I'm thinking of major overhauls, doing something colossally different, changing dramatically just for the sake of making a change. As opposed to experiments, a lot of times can be small little variables. So it's something about maybe tweaking a pace or tweaking the amount of rest or tweaking strength training routines or tweaking what races you run or when you run them or just little things, subtle things. Constantly experimenting though to find out if there might be something that would work better for you than what you are currently doing or what you have been doing. Just because it's not broke doesn't mean there's not a better way. But if it's not broke, again, I wouldn't advise making a major overhaul, but coloring, pushing the edges a little bit, trying some different things, just seeing if there's a hint of something different, something better that might be out there. And that was what stood out to me from this episode. That was my big takeaway. It was just that reminder that it's okay to try some different things. And in fact, probably it's something we should always be doing because as we get older, as we age, as we continue down this path of running, hopefully for many of us for well into the foreseeable future, the rest of our lives, potentially, we're going to have to make some changes. What worked for us at 25 and at 30 and at 35, is probably different. And it certainly will be different than what's going to work for us at 50 and 55 and 60. So don't be afraid to tweak. Don't be afraid to adjust. Don't be afraid to change a little bit with the times as new evidence comes out, as new science is done, as new research is performed. Accept it. Change with it. Roll with it. At least try it and see if it works for you. No one size fits all, but try some different things. Find out what works best for you. That was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email. DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave your thoughts, feedbacks, takeaways there as well. And for this episode, we're looking at DizRuns.com/587. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a little bow on this thing. Thank you guys so much for listening. Certainly appreciate that. Thank you once again to DKMS for sponsoring today's episode. They do great work. They do great work, and we can support them. So thank you. Thank you to DKMS. And once again, DKMS.org to get your swab kit and help save a life. Help save a life. So until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk soon, guys.